Kawhi Leonard is back, and there are a lot of questions about his status and how he's going to be in this upcoming season. Will he be the same Kawhi Leonard? Will he still have the same first step and burst? Will he be able to defend at the same level? We're going to be talking about it all. The major questions about Kawhi Leonard going into the 2022-23 season on today's Locked On Clippers.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, sir, you are locking in with the Clips. Thank you for making Locked On Clippers the first listen of your day. Your team every day. I'm your host, Darian Vaziri, longtime Clipper fan for 18 years. Have my own YouTube channel I started to talk about LA basketball and specifically Clipper basketball after the games happen. And of course, taking vlogs at LA sporting events that I go to because I'm such a big LA sports fan. That includes Clipper games, including 23 games from last season and the entire 2021 playoff run. You can check that out, Dime Dropper on YouTube. But for today's episode, if you watched the last one or listened to the last one, I talked about Paul George and three things that stand in his way from reaching the pinnacle of basketball, and that means a championship. In today's episode, I'm going to be talking about the other superstar on the Clippers, the main man, KL2 himself, Kawhi Leonard, coming off an ACL tear. So many people having doubts about him. Will he return to the Kawhi of old? Will he miss a beat? All these questions. Will he stay healthy? Will he get re-injured? Obviously, a lot of questions. And today I'm going to be talking about the health first, which, listen, Clipper fans, I am not trying to spread negativity in the air. It's just something that needs to be talked about. It's the major question with this team. Obviously, you know as much as anybody, I don't want any player on the Clippers to get injured. But it's something to talk about and how load management and potentially missing games will affect the Clippers' quest for a successful season and rhythm. And then going to his actual game on the court. I'm going to be talking about his burst, how much that's going to matter if he's lost a step, and his defense. And I think those are all intertwined. The health, the burst, the step, his quickness, the agility, everything's all intertwined. The athleticism really into the defensive side of the ball and the scoring side of things. So let's talk about the first thing, health. Kawhi Leonard obviously has the quad tendinopathy that has caused him to start the term load management, which was introduced during the 2018-19 season when he went to the Raptors, where he was sitting back-to-backs. And because it worked so well and the Raptors ended up winning the championship and Kawhi played 60 games out of 82 that year, it let people know, yo, if we keep our superstar player fresh for the playoffs and kind of do that, maybe it's a good strategy. Maybe his body will be more ready to go for the playoffs than other guys who try to play 82 games, other stars that try to play 82 games. The funny part is about Kawhi is he was still laboring a little bit towards the end of that 2019 finals, but he played so well, you couldn't really tell, and it didn't matter because ultimately he ended up with the finals MVP and the trophy, the championship trophy, and that's what the Clippers want to see him get to. And in 2021, he was awesome, but it is to be noted that he did miss 20 games. And in 2019-20, he missed 15 games. However, I think all Clipper fans listening to this right now, and even those that are not listening right now, will take 20 games missed from Kawhi. If he plays 62 games this season, I will take that because we just saw him play zero games last season. But one thing I really am down for is I'm okay with Kawhi being load managed. Everybody knows how I feel about load management, and I don't like it because I think it takes away from the regular season product, but it is necessary for a guy like Kawhi who already has pre-existing injuries before the ACL tear, and obviously he's coming off an ACL tear, so I want him to be load managed. And also, just going off of that, in the 2020-2021 season, the last season we saw Kawhi, the beginning of the season, if you recall, Ty Lue and Kawhi kind of said he's not going to be load managed this season. He's going to try to play back-to-backs. And in the beginning of the season, you saw him play some back-to-backs. And on the second half of those back-to-backs, you saw him just not be able to get by guys anymore. Teams would switch everything, and he would struggle to get the step, and he just didn't have as much elevation on his shot, and shots would fall short, and he just didn't seem like he was closing at the level that we were seeing in the bubble and in the 2020 season. So that kind of concerned me and made me think maybe his body is just not really built to play back-to-back very frequently. So load management is a good thing for him. And at this point, the Clippers, especially if Paul George is playing in the games that Kawhi doesn't play, they're going to be fine. And of course, as I've mentioned so many times in other episodes, the Clippers have shown the ability, even without both of them, to get wins. But obviously, the Clippers are striving for something entirely different this year. And that just, and before the championship, that goes with a better regular season. You know, obviously the Clippers finished eighth last year, and that's play-in. So to get out of this play-in stuff, you got to get a top six seed these days. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Clippers will pull that off. But if the Clippers don't get home court advantage in the first round, that's a total failure. And in my opinion, if they don't get a top three seed, it's a failure. Because again, I'm going to mention only two teams in the history of the game since the shot clock era have won the championship below the three seed. The 69 Celtics, and that was a huge upset, by the way. Bill Russell and the Celtics in his last season beat three teams on the road, including Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and Wilt Chamberlain in a game seven of the finals at the Forum. And then obviously the 95 Rockets with Clyde Drexler and Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler came in a midseason trade. I don't think the Clippers are going to bring in a star midseason like that. So they know the roster. I think they got to get a top three seed. As I've said multiple times, I prefer top two because that would give us home court advantage in the second round. But to get these kinds of seeds, you need to be healthy in the regular season. And that means your stars to be healthy. Does Kawhi need to play 70 games? No. Does he need to play 65 games? Not necessarily. 55 or more will do, preferably for me 60. And I'm fine with Kawhi missing back-to-backs. I think the Clippers have 14 or 15 this season. It's around that number. So again, here's the thing though. If those are the only games he misses, that's amazing. However, I don't think that's going to be the case. The thing is, we just don't want Kawhi Leonard, as Clipper fans and as basketball fans, to sustain a major injury, like a serious injury, obviously. So I'm not even going to go into depth about that because I just don't want to even spread that energy in the air. But one thing that hurt about the 2021 season as opposed to the 2020 season, and I think Kawhi had a slightly better regular season in 2020, even though the numbers are basically identical. No, he actually averaged two more points in 2020, his first season with the Clippers. He was more efficient, though, in 2021. The thing I liked about him in 2020, though, was because he played five more games, and that's because he didn't really have any real injuries. He just did the load management thing. Whereas in 2021, if you recall, for a while it was just load management, and then there was that game against the Celtics where he got injured right before the game, and then there was the stretch in late April where he missed 8 out of 9 games with a sore foot. And that had me really concerned when the home stretch of the season was coming up, because the Clippers were like 2 games out of the number one seed in 2021 at that point. And then before you knew it, Denver was creeping up on them and the Clippers found themselves in the 4 seed. And Kawhi came back with 8 games left and it was just tough. So you just hope that Kawhi doesn't have these little injuries that niggle at him throughout the season and cause him to miss time. So fingers crossed that he stays healthy like that, because that also is going to interrupt his progress in terms of getting back into the rhythm that he needs to get to that level that Clipper fans want to see him at, which is right in that best player in the league conversation. And to do that, I think he's going to need to not be interrupted by injuries, because there's nothing worse than trying to come back from an injury than to get re-injured and have to try to work your way back from that injury. So obviously, I'm just, again, I by the way, shout out to the subscriber or commenter from the last video that commented on the YouTube and said, I didn't like this episode. The bubble and injuries are in the past. Absolutely, the bubble is in the past. But injuries is something you cannot predict. And it's worth talking about it because it's the major, major question mark with this Clipper team. Every single person I talk to, every single conversation that you probably get into about the Clippers right now, it's, oh, if Kawhi and Paul are healthy. So it's a huge concern, clearly. And I'm going to be real, guys. If Kawhi Leonard doesn't stay healthy for the long haul this season, there's going to have to be serious questions asked after this season. But I'm not even going to spread that energy. Kawhi Leonard, hopefully, Jason Powell, the team, the physios, everybody in the medical staff of the Clippers does their part to keep him healthy and keep him fresh. And obviously, you're going to need some luck. It's a lot of it's freak accidents, these injuries in sports, guys. And hopefully Kawhi has the good luck going his way this season, because if he just sits back-to-backs and it doesn't get any little injuries throughout the season, then I think he's going to be fantastic. And again, I think it's going to be a minutes restriction in the beginning. I think it's going to take time for him to work his way back into his best form. But what would be great is if he starts out with no setbacks and you slowly start to see him get into his bag. And speaking of his bag, I think injuries affect one major thing, especially at the age that he's at. Athleticism, quickness, agility. I'm going to be talking about the question mark about his actual game. How much will the ACL injury impact him? Will he still have that first step? Will he still be quick enough to get by guys? Will he still be the same scorer that he once was? Going to be talking about all that coming up. Bet Online is your number one source for all your football, basketball betting needs. The 2022 World Cup is on the horizon, and you can place your bets on that and all major sporting events on Bet Online. Right now, Brazil is the favorite to win the World Cup with the odds at plus 475. Go place your bets on them. It's been a 20-year drought since Brazil's last won the World Cup, and that is the longest drought in their history. So chances are that history will repeat itself and Brazil will come out on top in Qatar. Place your bets. You go to Bet Online. You already know Bet Online is your number one source for all your sporting info and betting needs, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. You can even bet on MMA, boxing, and golf. And of course, the upcoming MLB playoffs. Go Dodgers, best record in franchise history. Just remember to head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. All right, Kawhi Leonard, obviously the main question is injuries, and hopefully none of that happens and he stays healthy. But when you come off an injury like that, a torn ACL, a lot of people question if you could ever be the same player. Now, the recent huge injury to major stars like Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and how they've come back, and mind you, Klay Thompson was not just one injury. He tore his ACL and then his Achilles. So the two worst injuries in basketball back to back. And, you know, he may not look the exact same way he did before he got hurt, but Klay Thompson just won a championship and had some really good games in that playoffs. But Kevin Durant is a little bit more of a, I'd say, is a slightly easier comparison because he had the injury at the exact same age, really, as Kawhi, maybe a year or two older. And he had a more serious one. He had the Achilles tear. And he's come back great. He's still one of the best players in the world. Does he have the same first step he once did in Golden State and Oklahoma City? No. But it's still good enough to get by, guys. And of course, Kevin Durant is a very skilled player where he relies more on his just incredible size and shot making to rise up over the top of guys and get to his mid-range and get to his spots. Kawhi Leonard, while he's not as tall as Kevin Durant, operates in similar ways. He doesn't rely on his speed so much. He's never relied on his speed so much. Yes, he's got the ability to get by guys, and he had the ability to get by guys, but he's more of a get-into-your-spots guy, mid-post guy. Honestly, goes to the post way more than Durant. Stronger, much stronger. Upper body and lower body. And that is one reason why I've been optimistic that it won't make much of a difference. So I'm going to talk about both sides of the coin. I'm going to go with the worst case scenario first, and then what I actually think is going to happen, and some encouraging things I saw by rewatching some highlights actually before this episode was recorded. So the worst case scenario is that Kawhi just has completely lost a step. He's lost some bounce. He doesn't have the same elevation on his jumper. And mind you, I mean, he's never had the craziest elevation on his jumper, but you need to elevate in order to get good looks. And if he doesn't have the same elevation, can't get the same step and can't get guys on his hip as much, like just can't get around guys even on his hip. There's a difference between getting around guys completely and then just getting guys on your hip. So at least you can create angles to exploit. If he can't even do that, then the Clippers are in trouble. He's not the same player. Paul George now becomes the best player on the Clippers. And they're doomed, probably. But I highly doubt it. And here's why. The surgeries these days have gotten so much better. So that's one thing I want to really encourage Clipper fans. I know I may have just spread some. I did not mean to scare you there. I didn't mean to make you nervous. Because I'm gonna try to turn that around right here. The thing about Kawhi is, even when I just went back and watched 15 minutes worth of 2020-2021 Kawhi highlights, so obviously the last season he played, but then I watched every single win that Kawhi participated in, highlights, in the playoffs, so that means the four wins against Dallas, games 3, 4, 6, and 7, and then games 3 and 4 against Utah, and out of all the scoring clips that I just saw, only four times did he actually blow by a guy in a one-on-one situation, which is encouraging because that means that about 30-plus minutes were of him scoring in other ways that don't involve a quick burst of speed. The thing about Kawhi is he is obviously, as I said, in my opinion, the best mid-post player in the league. He's a contested shot maker, so even if guys are on him, he still has the ability to shoot and hit tough shots with guys right in his grill, and he's got a great handle that's much improved. One of the biggest criticisms of Kawhi Leonard in his San Antonio days and early in his career was that he was stiff. And compared to guys like Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan, who at times he can be compared to in terms of style, yes, he's more stiff and doesn't have the same agility as them and is not as athletic as them, but you can argue he's stronger. At least in Kobe, he's stronger. He's bigger. Jordan is strong and was strong in other ways, but Kawhi is really strong. He's closer to a tank than those two guys. And so he uses that to create separation as well. And one thing I realized from the highlights was, as long as Kawhi Leonard can still get guys on his hip, not even get around guys, because it's only four times he got around guys, and that doesn't count when he's attacking closeouts. When guys are closing out at him at the three-point line and he can take guys off the dribble, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about in straight one-on-one situations. Because the reason why I'm saying this is because the main way teams had success against Kawhi and the Clippers in 2021 were teams that switched everything, very similar to the Clippers' intention this season, switched everything with athletic wings with long arms, like Andrew Wiggins, like Jason Tatum in Boston. And it forced Kawhi to not be able to get around guys and take tougher 18-footers in the second halves, and he looked a little gassed. And again, some of those games were without Paul George, so it's not very, like, I'm not saying that that's something that you're going to see this season if Kawhi returns to his best, but that's the way that teams had success against the Clippers, was switching everything and making Kawhi go one-on-one against elite wing defenders. Now, that's why I bring it up, because the four clips I saw Kawhi get around, guys, one was Rudy Gobert, one was Boban, and then the other two were the dunk against rip through against Royce O'Neal and slam on Derek Favors in game 4 against the Jazz that I was at. That poster was filthy. And then the other filthy poster he had that season before the Maxi Kleber one, the famous one where he had that picture with Paul George and Marcus Morris screaming at him. Against DeAndre Ayton in the regular season, he ripped through right by Mikal Bridges and dunked on him emphatically. But again, sometimes, and this is actually a real question. Sometimes Kawhi would have these moments and has these moments where he just, like, finds a random burst and, like, just rises over the top of guys. He just started the game all of a sudden. And I wonder if he's still going to have that explosion, because one thing I noticed from these highlights is that when Kawhi oftentimes got to the restricted area, he would punch it down. He would just punch it down. Will he still be able to dunk with that frequency? That's what I'm interested in. And obviously his big hands really help with that ability to palm the ball at the rim for those dunks and just be able to avoid the block. But one thing that's kind of interesting, and I know this is being kind of nitpicky, but interesting watching Dr. J, because I'm big into the history of the game and I watch old games, is that Dr. J has those insanely big hands, even bigger than Kawhi's. And I feel like Kawhi could manipulate the ball a little bit better with the use of his hand. And on defense, he does incredibly, though. You notice it on defense, the way he kind of just, like, his claw just rips the ball away from guys like they're children. It's insane what he does on defense with his hands. But offensively, he uses it on dunks very well, but on layups, and I think maybe part of it's because he doesn't have the same hang time that Doc did in elevation, because the way Doc does it is, like, insane. He just manipulates the ball away from shot blockers in the air and just throws up these finger rolls. I mean, it's just incredible. But again, I shouldn't compare so much. But Kawhi's ability to dunk on guys and attack with force, I really hope that's still there. And I honestly think the elevation will be fine. I just think in the beginning, guys, Don't expect it to be like Kawhi looked in game six against Dallas and just his best self. It may take time. He may lack a step in the beginning or lack a little bit of elevation in the beginning, but then 10, 20 games into the season, he finds his rhythm and goes crazy again. So it's going to be a work in progress. And then yet he very well could just come back and drop 30 on the first game against the Lakers and he's back like he never left. You never know either. I mean, it's sports. It's unpredictable and he's a hell of a player. But one thing that's encouraging, so I went over the negative. Here's the positive, Clipper fans. In the highlights, as I said, only four times did I see him just totally blow by a guy. Everything else, when he's, most of the NBA is not even total isolation ball. It's screen and roll or high screen, and then if teams switch, you go to the isolation against the mismatch. But if teams don't switch and they play drop coverage, Kawhi Leonard can walk into those mid-ranges easily. If teams hedge and recover and Kawhi turns that corner when he gets a step, then he doesn't even need to go one-on-one to get a full step. He'll already have gotten the step by turning that corner when guys are retreating back to their man who set the screen, and then Kawhi is going downhill and then can make reads, shoot floaters, stop and pop, or attack the basket. It's really in those one-on-one situations because it's not even going to be a huge deal in the regular season, in my opinion, but this is really talking about playoff time, like winning the championship. And to win the championship, even though ISO ball isn't super looked, you know, highly upon, it's not viewed highly. It's not the go-to way of efficient offense these days. When teams switch everything, it's going to force isolation ball. And Kawhi Leonard needs to be able to score on anybody in the league, because if Kawhi Leonard is 2019 Kawhi, 2021 Kawhi, the Clippers expect him to lead a team to a championship. He should be able to score on anybody one-on-one, anyone in the league. That means bigs, that means guards. And against guards, he's going to go to the post. And I love that about him. And that's what I love, is that he has such good post game that the losing a step or the elevation, this and that, it's not even going to even matter that much. He's going to be so, and I think that's part of the reason why he got even bigger. I think he knows he's going to have lost a little bit of a step, and he's like, you know what, I'm just going to create more separation in the post. I'm just going to put my shoulder into guys, because this was the encouraging sign. He had guys on his hip, even when he didn't get totally around them. The majority of clips when he was facing up and driving, he had guys on his hip, and just leaned into him, put his shoulder into his chest. Hoopers, young Hoopers listening, if you're watching, next time you watch Kawhi or any elite offensive player, watch the way when they get them on their hip, they put their shoulder into their chest and take away the angle for them to block a shot, and that keeps them grounded. And Kawhi Leonard's really good at using angles in every sense, whether it's in the post, whether it's on the drive. Even though he's not the quickest guy in the world, this is how he gets his money. This is how he gets his buckets. So he was going at guys like, not even just guards and forwards, like Maxi Kleba on his hip. He wasn't able to get by him all the time, but the way he just kind of shrugs him out the way or puts his shoulder and moves him out the way like a bulldozer, almost like LeBron did in Miami, is just, or LeBron still does now, to be honest, is a work of art, and it's beautiful. And Kawhi is so fundamentally sound. One of the most fundamentally sound superstars in today's game. Not super flashy, not super fancy. People talk about, oh, he's stiff and all that. Kawhi Leonard in the last 5-6 years has gotten so much more wiggle to his game. And when he's in the zone, like he was against Dallas in game six, you see it come out. And when he starts getting in that zone and starts shaking and baking, you can just see the confidence when he releases the ball, the way he follows through. I mean, I don't mean to sound like arrogant or anything, but even people that just play pickup basketball, you've probably been in that zone where you feel like every shot you take is going in. You can feel it's good by the second it leaves your fingers. And Kawhi, and if you really go back and watch those Dallas highlights, game three and game six, some of those shots when he's releasing the ball, he has a little bit more pep in his step and a little more swagger on that follow through. You just knew it was going in the second he shot it. And when he gets into those modes, you see the full wiggle come out and the bag show on full display. So, in my opinion, the encouraging signs and the main thing to take away from this, guys, is Kawhi Leonard was never the quickest guy in the world. He never relied extremely heavily on his first step. He was more an angles guy. Just get guys on his hip. If he can just get guys on his hip, he's even stronger now. He's going to be able to create that separation, go into their body, and just move them aside like they are cones. So, I think, guys, when I watched those highlights, I was more encouraged about Kawhi, that he's going to be fine, truly. So, as Clipper fans, you got to disregard the negative and only focus on the positive. And so that means forget what I said in the beginning of this segment. And at the end of this segment, I'm going to be talking about, or I'm sorry, going into the next segment to close out the show, I'm going to be talking about defense. Kawhi Leonard, often known as the best two-way player in the league. I honestly did not even hear the term two-way before Kawhi Leonard's rise to superstardom starting at the 2014 finals against the Heat. I'm going to be talking about what the stuff I just said in terms of losing a step, all that, means for the defensive side of things. All right, so Kawhi Leonard has been known as one of the best wing defenders of his generation in his prime in San Antonio, in his defensive prime, I should say. One of the best of all time. Did such a great job on LeBron in the 2014 finals, which led him to win finals MVP. Now, obviously, since he's become this incredible offensive force, his load on defense has decreased. He usually guards the best players only at the end of games. But with the Clippers, even though he's been a very good defender and he's fantastic help defending, he has great defensive instincts, he has great hands, he's a good rim protector in terms of for a forward rotating at the rim, and he's a very solid communicator on defense. Yes, I know, communication and Kawhi Leonard don't usually get correlated with one another, but if you actually watch games and pay attention to this, and again, that's the beauty of having these 1080p HD TVs and quality content these days, is you can literally see their lips moving out there. And Kawhi Leonard, especially when Ty Lue took over, even made an added effort to be even more vocal on the defensive end. So Kawhi, all that stuff, rotations, help defense, off-ball defense, I think he'll be fine. It's really, will he be able to guard those elite guys way down the line in the playoffs again? Because the turning point in the Dallas series was when Kawhi Leonard in Game 6 and 7 was like, look, I'm not just going to switch when someone sets a screen for Luka. I'm going to fight over that screen. We're going to hedge it. We're going to blitz him, but I'm not switching off of him. And it totally made a difference. So Terrence Mann, in my opinion, is the guy that's going to be deployed on the other team's best players more often than not. Because even though the Clippers are going to do switch everything schemes all the time, and that's going to give Kawhi rest on defense, because if a guy, let's say Kawhi is guarding De'Aaron Fox or something, he won't be guarding De'Aaron Fox like mainly to start games at least. But let's say someone comes and sets a screen. Okay, Paul, you guard him for now. I'm chilling. And that's the beauty of switching everything. It doesn't make one guy have to just fight through every single screen. So Kawhi is going to get rest in that sense. But Terrence Mann really is the only guy that I'm very, very confident in that can do the best job on guys like Steph Curry, Jamal Murray. Because Robert Covington and Nico Batum, as good of defenders as they are, they're not the best laterally against quick guards. They're better off ball and, you know, they're good getting over screens because they have long arms. But in terms of one-on-one, ISO at the top, let's dance. Nico has gotten torched by certain younger players at times, which is normal. The guy's like 34, and he's very good at defense for his age anyway. And Robert Covington is better off the ball as like a roamer as well. Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, honestly, are probably better on the ball, but they're going to be conserved at times throughout the season and many times throughout the season. So Terrence Mann, I think, is going to have a huge responsibility to guard these great players. But in the playoffs, it might be time for our guy that we consider the best two-way player in this generation to go out and guard the stars of the other team for stretches. Will he still be able to do that even though he's come off an ACL injury? And I think if more than anything, that's what I'm interested to see. Will he still have the same lateral quickness? That's what I'm majorly intrigued about going into this season. And you know what? The Clipper fan in me says, yes, he will. Yes, he will. I know one thing, you can't bully him. That's for sure. But that's what's going to be interesting to see. Can Kawhi still guard those quicker guards? You know, can if we're switching everything, Clippers switching everything, and they're playing the Cavaliers, can he stick with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland in the perimeter? I mean, he has length. He can recover well. He has good hands. He has good instincts. Plays angles well. But we'll see. I think that's a major question mark, though. I still think Kawhi will be elite. Will he make all defensive teams? That's kind of more about how many games he plays. But there are some questions to be asked. Overall, ladies and gentlemen, I think Kawhi Leonard is going to be great. I'm really excited to see him play, as everyone else is. I think he is going to be, and this is just a Clipper fan in me talking maybe, but I think he's going to still be arguably the best player in the NBA. And if he is, the Clippers have no excuse not to win the championship. I'll even go a step further. He'll be the best player in the NBA this season. Screw it. I'm saying it right here. Because that's what I believe the Clippers are going to need to win the championship, point blank. So, Kawhi Leonard, came here for a reason, man. It's time to bring it home. I just hope that ACL surgery was great, and I hope he's the same player, and we're going to find out very shortly. And even though he's not going to be playing the first preseason game on Friday against Maccabi Tel Aviv, Paul George and him and John Wall won't play. So we're going to see a lot of Luke Kennard, Terrence Mann, Brandon Boston. That's going to be fun. And it's going to be so exciting for me after all these episodes to finally get to talk to you guys or talk to you and tell you about a game, Clipper basketball, analyzing the actual film, the tape, what I love to do. And if you want to follow me on this entire journey, guys, because, oh boy, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be a journey. The most anticipated season in Clipper history. You can argue 2019-20, but this team is so much more focused, so much better top to bottom, from coach to the 11th and 12th men. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at DimeDropperPod. And, of course, to subscribe to this channel, Locked On Clippers. Get us to 1,000. We're only one of two channels, Locked On NBA, to not reach 1,000 yet. So make sure to smash that subscribe button. And now today's question. Will Kawhi Leonard still be as good laterally and as good on defense even after the injury? Because I know if I just ask, is he going to be as good? I think everyone's going to say yes. It's a Clipper channel. The defense is my main question. Will he be as good defensively, not as the Spurs version, as the version we just saw in 2021, which was still elite? Thank you guys for listening. Remember, I always want the constructive criticism and feedback. The age-old proverb, heading into Friday, go Clippers, we're back, baby! Let's get it.